We have several visitors with us today. And I do want to let you know that we appreciate very much you being here, first of all. But just to tell you a little bit about us, our aim individually and collectively is to do this right here, is to follow Jesus. Now, we'll take just a minute and emphasize each part of that, just to kind of further describe what our aim is. Look at this last part, first of all. Follow Jesus. We're not following Church of Christ doctrine. And the reason we're not following Church of Christ doctrine is that it does not exist. There is only one doctrine, and that is the doctrine of Christ. The teaching of Jesus Christ found within the New Testament. Our aim is to follow Jesus, to follow the teachings of Jesus found in the New Testament. Now, let's put some emphasis on the first part. Follow. Now, that's different than run ahead, isn't it? Our aim is not to run ahead of Jesus, it's to follow Jesus. Now, you might ask, well, in what way could you run ahead of Jesus? Well, the way you can run ahead of Jesus is by doing things that Jesus never said anything about. When you add to and take from His Word, that's running ahead of Him. When you do things in worship like we're doing today, if we should do things that are not taught in His Word in worship today, we would be running ahead of Jesus. And that's not our aim at all. We want to make sure that everything that we do here today and at all times is found in the teaching of Christ. That's the only way that you can say with assurance that you're following Jesus. I don't know how much you have noticed this, and I will relate this to the class we had this morning in the auditorium class. And I know this is using flesh in a little bit different respect than the way it was used in Philippians chapter 3, but the principle really is still the same. Many churches today still have confidence in the flesh. Is that not right? In other words, what do they emphasize? The appearance of the building, how fabulous the building is, how many numbers we have, how many people we've got going here. Sometimes the emphasis may be on the preacher that we've got, how many degrees he has, how many books he's written. And then think about actually what goes on in the worship services. Many of the things done appeal to the flesh. And so our aim is to not have any confidence in the flesh, but to offer up to God truly spiritual worship. So I just thought that might be helpful in terms of understanding some things about the group here. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's not really the focus of today's lesson. This being Mother's Day, obviously, we're not authorized to celebrate this as a religious holiday, but being that it is Mother's Day, we want to talk about this idea of honoring father and mother, which is a commandment given in Ephesians 6 in verse 2. Let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If you are familiar with the Ten Commandments that are found under the old law, you'll recognize that this is one of the Ten Commandments. Now, it's binding on us today not because it was one of the Ten Commandments, okay, because that law has been done away. It's binding upon us today because it is also enforced within the New Testament. This is a lifelong obligation that children have toward their mother and father to honor them. And so what we want to do in the lesson today is we want to look at seven specific ways to honor our parents. First of all, obey them. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Look back up to the very first verse of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And look at the reason that's given. Don't you just love the simplicity of this? For this is right. This is the right thing to do, to obey your parents. Now, when we say obey, or when the Scriptures say obey, what do you think is indicated as far as the attitude is concerned? When the Scripture says obey your parents, does that mean obey them, but make sure that you complain about what you have to do as long and as loud as you can? We know better than that, right? Inherent in this idea of obedience is a certain attitude with which you obey. In other words, you do what your parents say. You do it willingly. You do it without a word of complaint. Now you say, wait a minute, that's too hard. To which I would say, no, it's not. It's not too hard. You say, well, I bet you didn't do it all the time. And you're exactly right. I stumbled way too many times, and you have too. But you know what? We just repent, and we keep trying to do better and better with this, right? You obey your parents, obey them with the attitude that we've just described. Not only will they feel honored, but the Lord will be pleased. This is one practical way for you to be pleasing to the Lord. Look in Colossians 3. In verse 20, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, and again, just a very simple reason given here, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And I'll say this also in terms of this, and just kind of getting outside the realm of the parents for just a moment, but you want a good, practical way to show Christ to your friends and to your neighbors? Do this right here. Because it'll be conspicuous. It'll stand out. Because a lot of kids don't do it. In fact, I kind of skipped over what I wanted to use as the introduction to this lesson. What I had planned to use as the introduction to this lesson is there is one way that we could probably revolutionize society in a hurry today, and that would be for everybody to start obeying this commandment. What a change it would produce throughout this world. So, again, you're going to see a lot of disrespect among your peers. And so if you want to demonstrate Christ to them, now I know you're probably thinking of grand ways to do it, but here's a simple way to do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. All right, a second way to honor your parents is listen to them. And obviously, this is tied in very closely with the first one. In order to obey them, you're going to have to listen to what they have to say. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, we'll look at several passages in the book of Proverbs because there's a lot said in Proverbs on this subject. Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 1 is where we'll begin. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 19 and verse 27. Proverbs 19 and verse 27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. If you ever stop listening, you're going to get in trouble. And how many children today could come forward and attest to the truthfulness of that? How many could go back to a point in time and say, well, you know, I sort of forgot what my parents had taught me. I stopped listening to them, and here's what happened to me. And there are some true horror tales, right? Parents are giving you these words of knowledge. You need to keep on listening to them. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now there are going to be a number of different situations in which you will need to listen to them. Obviously, when they give you a command, when they correct you, when they are trying to teach you God's Word,
And then also when they're just simply giving you advice. Now what you need to understand about the advice, and I'm talking primarily here concerning parents who are Christians, who are familiar with the Word of God. Keep in mind that when they're giving you advice, they're not always going to be able to cite a particular passage. Now, I certainly believe that whenever you can, you need to do that as parents. But sometimes, the advice that you give to your children, you may not be able to recall the specific passage at that time, but the wisdom that you're imparting to them has been affected by all that you've learned from the Scriptures through the years. And so, parents keep that in mind when they're just simply, children keep that in mind when they're simply giving you advice. That their advice hopefully has been influenced greatly through the years by all that they know from God's Word. Listen to your parents. They will be happier. They will feel honored. And you will be wiser. It's a win-win situation, isn't it? Think about it. Both parties win. They'll be happy. They'll be honored. And you'll be wiser. And you'll be safer. Okay? So everybody wins in this situation. Here's the third way to honor your parents. Speak respectfully to them. Proverbs 30 in verse 11. I want to read this particular passage from the New International Version. Proverbs 30 in verse 11. The New International Version says, talks about those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. That's the way it's expressed there. Children who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Now, by curse their fathers, I don't know that he's just strictly talking here about profanity. Okay, that's the way we would think of it today. We'd think of somebody just giving somebody a good cussing out. Well, there are ways that you can curse your parents other than using profanity. Just by simply speaking disrespectfully to them would be one way to do that. Now, how do we speak instead? We don't talk the way this passage describes. How do we speak instead? Well, look at a couple of passages. Look in Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Not really talking so much about children here, but it's the same principle would apply to them. Proverbs 25 and verse 15, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. So instead of speaking disrespectfully, speak gently. Speak kindly to your parents. Look in Proverbs 31 in verse 26. Proverbs 31 in verse 26, talking here about the virtuous woman. And again, we're applying this to the words of children as well. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, would that be a way to describe you right now? On your tongue is the law of kindness. Well, if not, when do you think would be a good time to start working on that? Well, you get out of college, you get married and get a job. That's when I'll start working on it. Wouldn't it be a good idea to go ahead and start right now? In other words, if you're not speaking with gentleness, with kindness now, then the time to begin is right now. And again, we're talking about specifically speaking this way towards your parents. Let's turn over to the New Testament, to 1 Peter 3 in verse 8. 1 Peter 3 in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Be courteous.
You may have heard your parents talk about that. You may have even heard some of your teachers talk about that. Did you know it was actually taught in the Bible too? It's a biblical value as well. Courtesy. And courtesy applies in a lot of different realms, but we're applying it here particularly to your speech. Speak kindly. Speak gently. Speak courteously. Speak respectfully toward your parents. That's what's taught in the Bible. One thing that will always help you to know how to speak to your parents is to remember the position that God put them in. Not that they put themselves in. Remember the position that God put them in. And what is that position? Over you. Over you. You're under them. So always speak in such a way that you understand that relationship. Now, should they take advantage of that? Should they become dictators? Should they run over you because of it? Well, of course not. But it's not for you to always determine when that's the case. Sometimes you're not wise enough to even know when that's the case. Speak respectfully to your parents. Another way to honor your parents is to say thank you. Say thank you. And this would be a real good day to start with that. You remember the 10 lepers, right? The story of the 10 lepers told in Luke chapter 17. Remember, Jesus healed all 10 lepers. Now, you remember what lepers were supposed to do when they thought they were cleansed of their leprosy? Now, in this case, they didn't just think, they were, but they had to go to the priest, right? They had to go to Jerusalem, go to the priest. The priest would inspect and make sure that they were able to go back out into society again. Well, they all took off toward the priest, going to do exactly what the law taught them to do. But one of them turned around and said, well, now, wait a minute, before I do that, there's something I need to do. And this one man turned back. He went back to Jesus and he said, thank you. And you remember the question that Jesus asked that one man? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? You're the only one. Now, you don't want to be like the 9, do you? The aim, of course, is to be like the one who turned around and said, thank you. Those are the words that mean probably the most to parents. You think about all your parents have done for you. Have you returned to say thank you? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes there about the perilous times to come. He describes some of the characteristics of some people during these perilous times. And you know what one of those characteristics is? Unthankful. Unthankful. That's a bad thing. Being unthankful is a bad thing. Ingratitude is spoken of in a really bad way throughout the Scriptures. You don't want to be like that. You want to make sure that you show proper appreciation for your parents. Another way to honor your parents is to show some responsibility, some initiative. To put it a little plainer, to do some work. You know, it's wonderful that you've become proficient at the Wii. And it's wonderful that you've become proficient at PlayStation. And it's wonderful that you can work your way around Facebook like nobody's business. And all of those things are not bad in and of themselves. But do you think any of us are reaching the point where we've spent maybe a little bit too much time? It might be worth asking at some point, now, how much of this is going to translate into productivity in real life? Might be worth asking that question at some point. Again, these are fun things. The Lord's not against fun. But I tell you what, when we get so busy with those things and we neglect some things that really need to be done and that would actually be more helpful to us, then now we've got ourselves a problem. And I don't know the magical formula. I can't say, well, this much is too much. But I would urge all of you children just to take a look at your life. How much time you're spending on different things. And really what we're getting at here is, don't let mom and dad do all the work. Don't let mom and dad do all the work. Volunteer to help. Do some things. And when you are asked to do some things, then don't complain about it. Show some initiative. Get up off the couch. Get away from the TV. Take some responsibility. We're not interested in taking your childhood away. I don't think there's a parent here that wants to deprive you of a certain measure of fun and just have you working from sun up to sundown every day for your entire childhood. I don't think anybody here is going to go to that extreme. But there are things that can be done. It would certainly be good and helpful to them. Look in Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Not hard to see the contrast there, is it? Jake is about to graduate in the next week or so, and he's diligently looking for a job right now. And Lynn and I pray daily that he will be able to find one very soon. He's getting married August the 5th, and that kind of makes it even more urgent. But I'm just going to tell you, it would dishonor us so greatly if I knew that he wasn't trying to find a job, if it didn't matter to him. Or if he did get a job and he just kind of lazed through it and wasn't very responsible with that and was fired and kind of kept that attitude on with several jobs, that would reflect directly on us. Absolutely would. And we would be so ashamed. And that's what it says here. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And so don't cause shame to your parents. Bring honor to them by showing some responsibility, by showing some initiative. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, you begin this work ethic early on. It will certainly pay off in the future. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. One day, some of you young men are going to be the head of a household. You're going to have to work, and you're going to have to be able to provide for yourselves. And then, as the passage says, one of your aims should also be able to help other people as well. And that's going to take some diligence. But again, the time to start learning that diligence is now. It's kind of hard to just flip that switch on. It's kind of hard to be lazy for the first 22 years of your life and then say, nope, that's it. I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just hard. So learn some diligence even at this early age. Another way to honor your parents is to provide for them. And we're, of course, talking about especially when they get older. They have provided for you for so many years, the time may come when you have to provide for them. 1 Timothy chapter 5. You should be close by there already. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Again, one day the tables may be turned and you have to repay them. It may come in the form of financial help. It may involve taking them to the doctor. It may involve being their nurse. It may involve doing chores for them that they can no longer do. But we dare not neglect that responsibility. Proverbs 19 and verse 26 describes a very sad situation. And when we read this, you're going to think, well, nobody would do that. Well, people do do that. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Well, one particular application I can think of that passage is, you ever heard of these people that maybe are caring for their elderly mother or elderly father, or perhaps both in some cases? There have been cases where people got so tired of doing that they just dropped their mother or their father, or perhaps both, off at a nursing home or at a hospital somewhere and just took off. We can't care for them anymore, and they just leave them there and take off. Now, that's pathetic, isn't it? And I doubt very seriously that there is a single solitary soul here that would ever do that. But would we still, though, provide for them the things that they do need? Would we take responsibility for doing all of those things that we mentioned a few minutes ago, and perhaps more, just whatever they may need? We talk sometimes about Jesus washing the disciples' feet there in John chapter 13. You may have to literally wash their feet sometimes. You may have to cut their toenails. Really. You may have to do some very undesirable things. You may have to clean up after them. Very undesirable things. But boy, what a way to honor your parents. Time to repay them for all that they've done. One final way that we want to look at today, really save the best for last. You honor your parents by walking in the truth. Now, is this a completely separate point from the previous six? No. Walking in the truth involves obeying them, listening to them, speaking respectfully to them, saying thank you to them, showing some responsibility, some initiative, and providing for them. These are all ways that are involved in walking in the truth. But we want to stop here and give some emphasis to this. You want to know a good way to maybe be excused for occasionally forgetting to send a birthday card? Or maybe not coming through on Mother's Day exactly the way they like. You know, a good way to kind of excuse that from happening from time to time. I'm not trying to say this, that's a good thing, but be a faithful Christian. Walk in the way of truth. That's going to mean more to them than anything else. That'll mean more to them than any greeting card that you'll ever send to them. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 23. Great passage on this particular subject. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. And then I like the way it's then directed to the children. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. And I know that some of you are about to leave home. And you know what the temptation will be. And I know right now you're thinking, that's not me, don't worry, that's not going to happen to me, but there's going to be that temptation to throw off some of those restraints that you felt like you've had on you during your growing up years. I'm on my own now, I can make my own decisions. Hey, and that's great, because that will help you grow and that will help you mature. But just remember to make those decisions in keeping with the will of God. Walk in the way of truth. Nothing will make your parents happier than that. What was it that John wrote there in 3 John? In verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, he was probably talking about more than just his fleshly children there. But you see the point. No greater joy comes to parents than to know that their children are doing what they're supposed to be doing. This is truly the greatest way that you can honor your parents. 7 ways to honor our parents. Obey them. Listen to them. Speak respectfully to them. Say thank you to them. Show responsibility, initiative, learn to work hard, provide for them, and then walk in the way of truth. Go ahead and get out your songbooks. We'll sing the song of invitation here in just a moment. Remember what we said at the beginning, that our aim individually and collectively as a group is to follow Jesus. And so when it comes to telling people what they need to do to be saved, we want to make sure that what we tell them comes from Jesus, right? We don't want anybody following what man has taught on this. And so here's what Jesus has said on the subject. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. No way that you can be saved without first believing in the Savior. That makes sense, right? And that's what Jesus teaches in Mark 16:16. Jesus, through one of his apostles, remember they spoke on his behalf. Jesus, through one of his apostles, said in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Repentance is just a turning. It's a turning away, and it's a turning to. It's a turning away from sin, and a turning to Jesus. Jesus also, through one of his apostles, taught that with the mouth, confession is made into salvation in Romans chapter 10. We see an example of that confession in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then finally, Jesus teaches, and this is a point of debate among men, I don't know why, but we're not really interested in what men see, but Jesus said, again, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Ananias, delivering the will of Jesus to Saul, said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins in Acts 22 and verse 16. And so don't let your judgment, your mind be clouded by what you've heard from different people. That's the teaching of Jesus. And that's what you must obey today in order to be saved by the blood of Jesus. If there's anyone here today that we can assist in obedience to the gospel, please come as we stand and sing.